Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Hal Chambers, director of Leaper. Hello, Hal.
Hello.
So, can you tell me what inspired Leaper?
So, the story of Leaper was inspired by a real person. His name's Steve Key, and he lives in Perth in Scotland. We met Steve because his son, David, came to see one of our shows at the Edinburgh Festival back in 2011, and we struck up a bit of a friendship. They were sort of a fan of Tucked In and our puppetry work. And I then found out, having met Steve on two or three occasions, a little bit more about his work. And he runs a salmon nursery. It's officially called a reconditioning unit, but essentially his job is that he looks after juvenile salmon and rears them to be ready to go back to their native streams and start their journey all the way out to the ocean and back again. I found it really intriguing why you would need to have a salmon nursery, because I always thought that salmon were the sort of a bit of an emblem of Scotland, this kind of immortal, famous fish. But from talking to Steve, I found out that in years past, there was a bit of a threat to the population of the salmon in the Tay, which is this river near where he is. And he was asked to set up a project to work out how to basically readdress the balance so that salmon fish didn't dwindle there in terms of numbers. I found that really interesting that one, that he just works by himself in this unit and he looks after these fish. And I just thought, what an unusual job. And I sort of started to think, why do we need to protect marine creatures? So I started looking into the issue on a kind of UK level and then more of global level. And it was quite shocking what I found out. And I found out that actually, certainly out in the oceans especially, there are a lot of threats to marine creatures that are perhaps not in the public consciousness as much as they should be, such as there's a lot of pollution and there's a lot of threat with overfishing as well, where often big companies take their huge fishing vessels out there to the oceans and they trawl the sea, where they kick up a lot of the seabed and destroy everything and the trawler's path. It's indiscriminate the way that they fish, so they will take not just the species that they're fishing for, but everything that they get. So I kind of found that pretty shocking. And yeah. I also then found out that some marine biologists think that fish in the sea, or wild fish, might be a thing of the past in just 2048.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's sort of mind-bendingly crazy. And the fact that nobody seems to like bring that up over a cup of tea or in the pub, you think, well, all right, that seems like something we should know about. I then watched a whole load of documentaries and read a lot of books. And I came across this one documentary called The End of the Line, which is produced by a woman called Claire Lewis, who just sort of through a friend of a friend I managed to meet. And she's very passionate about the Leaper Project, but also passionate about saving fish for future generations. So she's been really, really helpful. And also the director, Rupert Murray, who's a lovely bloke, has come into the rehearsal room and talked to us and came to see the show the other day and was talking about how important he thinks the issues are in our play. And I asked them what had changed after they made the documentary The End of the Line, which came out in 2008. And they said, you know what? Not enough. And actually, their prediction of wild fish being in serious trouble by 2048 is still out there. There's a lot of illegal fishing that's going on around the world, and still a whole load of plastic pollution that's out there. And of course, plastic doesn't biodegrade, so there's all sorts of issues with that as well. Yeah. So I thought, wow, it just blew my mind a little bit. And then I thought back to the story of Steve and he's just this one guy who every day, even on Christmas Day, has to go in and feed his juvenile fish. And he's also got adult fish there that lay lots of eggs. So he's able to kind of keep this cycle going. And all he's doing is trying to make sure the salmon have the best chance to go out there into this kind of gauntlet of natural predators and man-made predators. Somewhere within all of that, I thought that would be a really interesting idea for a puppetry show for children, because by 2048, they'll be older than me. They'll be the ones cleaning up the mess.
Yeah.
And I'm very passionate about making stories for children that are quite challenging, both emotionally and politically, but also are really visually beautiful and playful and lovely. But I thought, actually, this might be a really interesting show for kids, because I think kids are born with a kind of natural interest in conservation and looking after the planet. And somewhere along the line, and we're teenagers, we lose that and get more interested in Facebook, Instagram, I don't know. But something changes a little bit, and that awareness of taking care of the planet as we grow up dwindles in some, obviously not everyone. I suppose if the show could at least harbour that sense of wanting the planet to be something that's a renewable resource in terms of, like, you know, not just fish stocks, but like animal stocks, you know, will we actually still have like a planet in 100, 200 years that actually we can actually use the resources that have been set out for us by Mother Nature, because it seems like a lot of stupid decisions are happening both on a local and global level on how we can actually, you know, keep certainly fish from being something that we can have on our plates. So anyway, long answer to a question, but inspired by Steve, but then I've met so many inspiring marine biologists and social ecologists and people who are doing all sorts of projects to try and spread the word on fish conservation. But I've also talked to lots of kids and they're like, that sounds really stupid. Why would you do that? Because if you take the fish out of the ocean, then loads of animals are going to be in trouble, including us. So it seems key to our survival and it just seems totally stupid to treat the oceans in this way. So yeah, it's just that was the inspiration.
So is this sort of moral and or political theme typical of productions that you've put on as part of Tucked In?
I think Tucked In was created about 10 years ago, and this is our fifth family show with puppets in, but it's I wouldn't say it's just puppets. It's sort of storytelling and acting, singing, movement, and, you know, all sorts of things. It's a crazy kind of cocktail of theatre making. But our first show was partly inspired by war, and so it was about a puppy trying to get home to his mistress in the midst of this kind of post-apocalyptic landscape. So it was a kind of ode to home and war, really. And our second show was called Tim and Light, and that was about friendship and what it's like to make friends when you're a young person and the difficulties of that. Our third show was called The Golden Cowpat, which is a really fun show, but it's quite the early kid, so I feel like three and over. And that was about money, but it was all about this cow who made golden poos. And everyone then wanted a piece of that cow and exploit her. So that was a kind of thing about money being something that can ruin society, but actually if we use it in the right way, we can be really positive. And then The Sam Rose in the Shadows, which was our last major show, was about grief and about coming to terms with sadness and what it is for a child. So I suppose somewhere in there, there's these challenging, almost taboo subjects that are quite hard to just bring up, you know, with kids. It's quite hard to just get into that conversation. But they all underpin what is a kind of fantastical story. So stories have lots of weird and wonderful characters and puppets and lots of kind of, you know, emotional journeys and are very playful. Undercutting that is this kind of metaphor of something that adults can understand as well, and that children can grapple with, and maybe not always understand everything, but they can then create this dialogue with their parents going, why did that happen? Say, you know, in Sam Rose in the Shadows, there was a story about a man who carried around a thing called a sad thing box, and he didn't know how to unlock it. Okay, so his sad thing box was obviously his grief that he was carrying around, but the children saw that as a kind of fun thing that they could understand as a sad thing box, and so they might ask their parents, do I have a sad thing box? What is a sad thing box? Why, you know, what's that all about? And then a dialogue can gently start. So I'm really interested in intergenerational chats that come out of these plays. And it's really interesting because somebody who came to see Leaper on Sunday, who's been a supporter of the show, he really liked it. But he said that actually his daughter didn't understand everything, was asking him a lot of questions during the show.
Yeah.
And I said that to him, isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? That she's going, why is that happening to that fish? And why are there fish skeletons dancing in the sea?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't necessarily think that's bad. Like, you know, if they don't understand everything, I think that's okay because, you know, they're young and they want to ask questions and be curious. You know, if it's about the show not making sense to them at all, then that's a problem. But I don't think that's true. And I think the conversations between, you know, I love it in an auditorium where you can hear these questions being asked between parent and child.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? If it's really straightforward and like there's nothing challenging in there, and what's the point?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I still always think about me going to the theatre to see something that I like. I want to be challenged. I want to not 100% get everything and want to go away and think about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're challenging the stereotypical view of theatre and education as being quite dry and quite straightforward to understand by actually making the audience think. That must be a great feeling.
I think so. I think children are really curious, and the themes we try and tackle in our plays are all new plays, of course. And I tell you, it's really hard to get new plays out there for children because, you know, often a lot of theatres, they just want another version of Alice in Wonderland or Red Riding Hood, or they want a celebrity from CBeebies in there. And I've directed some shows like that. Like, I've directed bigger, more commercial things, like adaptations of books, and I've worked with a CBeebies star, and that was all great. And you know what? It's great to see the auditoriums full and everyone want your show, but there's nothing like watching 200 people in each performance. This weekend we had two performances of the Lyric in London, and we had one in we had two performances of the Brighton Tome, and then a sold out, and then a full hall yesterday of children reacting to a play that you've dreamt up, and really understanding the themes and really being interested by what's happening. You know, I think if children and their parents are a bit more curious and go, actually, yes, I know this show is something that's a safe bet, you know, because we all like Alice in Wonderland, but if they're actually like, actually, you know, kids need to be challenging new stories. That's kind of where Tucked In is, in that middle ground, trying to find new stories and new audiences for those stories.
Yeah. So briefly, tell me what Leaper is about.
It's kind of inspired by Steve. So it's set in a salmon nursery. So at the start of the story, there's a man who works with his assistant in a salmon nursery. So they feed the fish and they make sure that their tanks are got the right water in them, and they check the temperature of that water, which is very important. And this man who runs the nursery has a daughter in our version, who doesn't really like the salmon, these juvenile little, you know, growing fish, and thinks they're a bit stupid and slimy and horrible, and she doesn't really understand and she doesn't really care. On this particular day, one of the salmon, the juvenile salmon, is ready to go down to the stream. So they put them in a little travelling unit and they take them down to the local stream in Scotland, and they let the fish go off on its journey. And the girl who has been watching all of this, munching on some crisps, is incredibly, like, you know, bemused at why her dad likes fish so much. And then just as they're leaving, she drops her crisp pack in the stream. As she's bending in to try and get it out of the stream, she falls in and ends up turning into a puppet form. So we go from an actress to a puppet. And then she meets this little salmon puppet down in the stream and ends up going on the journey with Leaper, who's this salmon fish. So they go on this journey together, which is basically the roughly real story of what happens to a salmon. So they come across lots of natural predators on their way down the river towards the ocean. So without too many spoilers, they meet various puppets. And there's about 40 puppets in this show. So there's various characters. Yeah, it's like some very small puppets, but like there's about 20 or so major big puppets. And they meet a seal, and they meet a duck, and they meet a bear, and they're all trying to make a Leaper their lunch, you know. And then they get out into the ocean. Now, out in the ocean, they eventually find a really amazing feeding ground where Leaper manages to eat some eels and some krill, and of course the girl has to taste the local cuisine. But then the journey, just like, you know, any kind of fantasy story where it's all nice at first, things start to take a sinister turn. So they come across things such as, you know, the larger and larger fishing boats, and they have to dodge the nets, and they end up getting cornered by a plastic monster who is the culmination of all the plastic that converges together, and they have to really try hard to find their way home, really. Salmon have got this, like, natural homing device, which they kind of use the magnetic force of the Earth's core to navigate their way back to the original stream. So the girl and Leaper work together to get all the way home, but it's a hard journey, and I can't give away the ending, but basically she firsthand has to understand what it's like for fish. You know, it's not just about the natural predators anymore. Things are being made harder and harder, and it's a kind of dystopia vision. But actually, I think the overriding message of the play is extremely positive, because it centres on the girl and the father's kind of work preserving the fish and nurturing them, which I think is something that I'd love to, you know, make an audience feel. If they came out of it with anything, they think, maybe I can nurture the planet for my children and my children's children. Because essentially that's what it's about. It's nurturing ourselves as well as the fish, you know, because, you know, life is a delicate balance. And I feel like human beings are making a bit of a mess of this planet with global warming and various other things. I just hope there's a little bit of positivity within this story, even though there's some dark material in it.
But it sounds like such an important story to tell.
Yeah, I hope so. It's also really funny, though. Like, it's not serious in tone. And it's also pretty much entirely without words. So the music and the visuals do everything. It's very complicated for the actors. They have a pretty traumatic time because they're like puppeteering and they're running around and they're whipping material around, and I think they feel like they're in an Olympic sport or something because it's really, really hard. And the three actors make this entire world come to life.
Oh, wow.
And they even do their own lighting sometimes with head torches. So we use mirrors and, you know, a whole load of different puppetry styles. So it's a rich show, but I think the actors are exhausted. So I think they're looking forward to a couple of days off.
Brilliant. And what's next for Tucked In, if you can look that far ahead?
Yeah, well, of course, this tour will go on till the start of May, and we're coming to the Oxford Playhouse, who have supported Tucked In over the years. So we're coming there, I think, mid-April. But we're actually developing a new project with Kensington Palace,
Oh.
which is about Queen Victoria's childhood. So we're developing ideas for a promenade show around the palace and the very halls where she would have been a child. And we're making a puppetry project about her childhood and even looking at her influence on Christmas, because of course she was partly responsible for how Christmas is so popular, you know, changed a lot of the aesthetic of it and things like that. So I don't really know anything about that yet, apart from the fact that we're doing a 2 week of research and development in April to try and make a puppetry project there. But you know, long term, we want to continue making plays that are challenging and exciting for kids. Yeah, that's the plan.
Brilliant. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
A bit different, yeah.
This is a bit of a silly question. What's your favourite fish?
Oh, well, probably have to say the salmon, wouldn't I? But yeah, we've got loads of different characters in the play. We have a pike, which often gets mistaken for a shark, but it's kind of like the nemesis of the salmon out at sea. So I like our pike puppet. He's really evil and funny, and he's like a Wild West bad guy. So he's quite fun. I've obviously had a great respect for the salmon because it's such a kind of like epic creature, you know, the way it can just grow so massive and then work out how to get all the way home. I just think there's something so human in that, like this idea that you have to come all the way back to your original stream to lay your eggs. But I just think that's extraordinary, and it taps into like the thing that human beings always want. They always have that sense of where their home is, whether it's people or a place. And I just think there's something about the salmon that I find extraordinary in that. And I've grown to respect them, you know, over the last 3 years. So I would have to say the salmon.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Hal. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for chatting.